place to be, Nation. Welcome back to PTBN's NBA Team Podcast as we are finally finishing up, for some of the listeners and maybe for us too, the season preview for the 2016-17 NBA season. It's almost here. You can feel that game starting where I believe it's going to be the New York Knicks playing the Cleveland Cavaliers in Cleveland to kick things off on TNT. Always a fun week when basketball starts because you have no idea what you're in for. I'm your host, Andrew Reich. I am joined by my co-host, Adam Murray.
Yay.
Are you that excited about the end of this preview?
Well, the end of the preview means the season's here, and it's about time. It's been a long summer of baseball and football and Brady and blah, 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 and politics, and let's just get back to the simple things we enjoy, like Knicks fans being delusional.
I mean, are you done with football already as a Saints fan?
I've been done with football for a couple years just because of all the shenanigans and BS, and, you know, it's hard to watch when, you know, it's just being run the way it's being run now. It's not the same.
Well, the games are not enjoyable to me. To me, the NFL is just not enjoyable. It's the games are boring. You know, now you're watching the best athletes on earth, especially on defense. But man, there's just so much. There's so much offensively that gnaws at me when I watch the NFL. Like, college is actually a breath of fresh air. You watch all these teams throwing the ball. You see crazy offense. You see teams, guys running for 200 plus yards. Like, it's almost a little bit of a freer game.
Kind of, well, yeah, because NFL has sort of just become like a video game. It's like, all right, I know my 10 plays. Let me just run them again. And
yeah.
It's I don't want to say it's sad. It's just, I don't know.
Do you think the NBA is sort of a victim of that too? High pick and roll, horns, you know, kind of the same stuff over and over. It's just deviations of the same plays?
Well, no.
Especially down the stretch of games.
Now it's just, you know, we don't care about dunks. We want to see Curry make 40, 30, 50, 70 footers now. Mm-hmm. Which you never, I want to see somebody jump shoot, yay.
I remember, this is very random, but I remember they were doing a tie-in for the Angry Birds movie. And I remember they were, you know, usually when they do like a NBA related thing, they're all dunking and they're doing like when Michael put in the reverse layup and made that popular, everybody wanted to do reverse layups. And then guess what the little Angry Bird does? He does like corner threes. He makes a shot and he does like a corner three. I'm like, okay, I guess this is the new thing for the kids, corner threes, you know?
Yep.
But that's the way it's been going with the NBA, but we're getting ready to start it all up and get everything revved up. And we only got three teams left. Are you at the end of the day with these three teams? This is the mamma jamma. This is the trifecta. Are you pleased with these three?
Well, these are really the only three that are left, and you know, essentially, it's like, well, why is there three? Why isn't it two? It's like, well, on paper, you have to. Nobody's really taking down Cleveland in the East, you know, based upon process of elimination of all the other teams we've done. Like, you're not Toronto or Boston aren't going to do anything. So it's like, well, Golden State by default has to be. They're the ultimate hunted team, so.
Yeah, I mean, the question on the previous one was hunter or hunted. This isn't a question. You're the hunted. Like, they're coming after you. You know, they're all coming after you, whether you're in the West or the East. We have two in the West, and we have one in the East. I think you can safely denote by, if you've been following the season preview for us episode by episode, which teams they are, you know. But you know what? I'm actually just going to go ahead and kind of go from the bottom up here. For Please Stop Believing, we had the Nets, the Lakers, the Magic, the Sixers, and the Kings. No protest there, right?
Nope.
And then we had Nab Butt, and then that was six teams. Charlotte Hornets, I'm still fighting that. Denver Nuggets, Milwaukee Bucks, Minnesota Timberwolves, Phoenix Suns, New Orleans Pelicans. I mean, it's a little bit of a crowded group, and that's why we had, you know, uneven groupings, like in terms of number of teams, but I felt like that was sort of necessary. Teams that we just don't think are going to make the playoffs, but they might. You know, next one was Got a Pulse, which was Dallas Mavericks, Detroit Pistons, Houston Rockets, Miami Heat, Utah Jazz, Washington Wizards. And no change there yet?
The Heat are down.
You would go down on the Heat? Wow.
Not those words exactly, but...
I will say that for Justice Winslow, fantasy, definitely pick him up if he's in the second round. I'll say that.
Fantasy, get Deion Waiters in the low round because all he's going to be doing is shooting. Another good garbage pick, Derek Williams.
Is Russell Westbrook the first ever unanimous fantasy number one pick? Like, first time ever? Or
no,
was there another one before
because
that?
Somebody's, yeah, Stephen Curry.
Yeah. Well, we'll talk about that in a bit with his efficiency and whether it's going to take a dip with all the changes there in Golden State. Coulda, woulda, shoulda, which was kind of my personal favorite one with all the, you know, with the Saints tie in there. Atlanta Hawks, Chicago Bulls, Indiana Pacers, Memphis Grizzlies, and then the delusional New York Knicks.
Pacers look good. Thus far, I wouldn't.
Well, I mean, they have star power, you know.
I don't know if I'd move them up to the next group, but we just said they're unexciting, which they're going to be woefully unexciting.
Well, not just that. You know, we were obsessed on paper. That's something where on paper you look at it and you're like, well, I don't know if this is going to work. But then you see it on the court, and Jeff Teague's the point guard, and Thaddeus Young is your like your bench four man, and Al Jefferson is there at center with Miles Turner, and you're like, huh, this is not bad. This might actually work.
There's solid additions, but I don't want to watch it.
Yeah, and Memphis is very different. I can already tell that they're just playing differently. You know, from the Dave Jaeger era. Hunter or Hunted, which was last week's episode. We have the Boston Celtics, the Oklahoma City Thunder, the Portland Trail Blazers, the San Antonio Spurs, and the Toronto Raptors. You're still not moving them up here. None of them can. Not even the Spurs.
Not even the Spurs. On paper, it's a, you know, everybody's already, you know, booked their hotels and in two specific cities. And
if we wanted to be symmetrical, we could have had a healthy debate over we could take the Celtics or the Raptors and move them up to here.
Yeah, but the Raptors slot. The thing is, like, yeah, you could say the Raptors would move up, but they would get slaughtered by all three of these teams. That's the problem. Is you just look
that
at
is true.
In yeah. order to be in this group, you have to be able to beat somebody in the group, and it's just nope. There, nobody is doing that.
The title of this tier, the final tier, the top tier, the primo tier, is spoiler alert. I mean, because let's be serious. This is one of those ones where it's like, well, duh, they're going to be a contender for the championship. The third one might surprise some people, but, you know, I don't think it's going to surprise too many if you've really been keeping a close eye on – if you've been listening to the podcast and know how much we like the team. Let's go ahead and start with the one Eastern Conference team, which is kind of like the spoiler alert for the entire Eastern Conference, the Cleveland Cavaliers. Best year ever?
By default.
Okay.
If you win the championship and you've never won one,
a fired coach, a nail-biting comeback in the finals, like – none of that kind of – like, would you still take all of that for the championship?
The fired coach thing was – I don't want to say it was stupid, but Tyronn Lue hasn't been any better. It's mm-hmm. just, you know, he's buddies with everybody, so it's cool.
Yeah, well, that's the thing. Like, they go nuts shooting threes on the Pistons and the Hawks, and they're like, you see, the missing piece was Tyronn Lue. It's like, no, the missing piece was that they didn't want a coach telling them what to do. So they're just basically just running free shooting threes. That's the difference.
Yep.
All right, so the Cleveland Cavaliers. Let's just kind of try to wrap up as much as we've already done in previous episodes about the Cleveland Cavaliers in the 2015-16 season. Just give me a general idea of what made them good, what made them so resilient when they fell behind against the Warriors, and just LeBron's general greatness or the level he is at in terms of his prime.
Oh, it's just LeBron James. He's at the end of his prime with his age and, you know, general slowing down, which, as you could see, has happened.
He's 32, right?
I believe so.
Let me make sure here. 31 years old. Which is also his salary, $31 million a year.
He'll be 32 in December, so.
Did you have a problem with the re-signing 3 years, $100 million with the player option?
They could say, you know, he could have been like, I want $200 million. Okay. They're not going to let him go. It's just one of those things you have to sort of do it.
The Kyrie Irving, Kevin Love dynamic, I know they found a way to make it work in the finals when Irving just kind of came alive pretty magnanimously in the finals. But for Love, do you still think there's some lingering issues there with his involvement in the offense, maybe being unhappy during the regular season?
No, he just doesn't fit.
Okay.
He can be
but
happy.
Can they make it work if it's not a fit?
They won the championship. And you have, you know, Tristan Thompson, and you got Channing Frye you traded for. So there's people around him. He just, you know, it's just one of those, well, he's not happy. And you look into it more. Yeah, it's not like a John Wall, Bradley Beal, where, yeah, we don't like each other off the court. We're just professional. And they all get along. They're all having a good time. It's just one of those, you get a player who doesn't necessarily mesh 100% with your style.
And Love found his way in some of those games against the Hawks and the Raptors where all of a sudden he would come, but then he'd have some games where he was terrible. Like, he was just not there. With Irving, I mean, there were rumors about maybe moving him would be a good idea because they played so well in the first month of this, or the first 2 months of the season before he came back from his broken kneecap. But the finals sort of disproved that. Would that be correct?
Yeah, Delia Dova couldn't take from... No, you have your superstar point guard who's still young, so we forget
24 that. Years old.
So, obviously, he's still learning and he's still getting better. It's just... Yeah, I don't know what we can really say about this team other than, you know, they won the championship because of LeBron. If they didn't have LeBron, let's say they had some other superstar, I don't want to say equal to him, but sort of similar, they wouldn't have won. It was just solely they won because of the best player in, you know, the NBA.
Is LeBron going after another regular season MVP? Is this the one where it's like, I'm still the best player in the NBA?
To him, or, yes. To reality, no.
That's the thing. Will he be able to play enough games? And will he? The thing about LeBron that makes him so brilliant is that he's gotten to a point where he could literally coast the regular season and still average about 25 points, seven rebounds, and seven assists. He's that great. But he doesn't have games where he gets like 40 points, 50 points, 60 points. Like, he doesn't have those games anymore where he's just destroying teams. He's just more of a stealth performer. And you got Kyrie behind you. You got Kevin Love behind you. You just re-signed J.R. Smith to that deal, which we'll get to in a second. And then they have a couple of other pieces like Tristan Thompson, you know, Channing Frye they got in the trade, Iman Shumpert, Richard Jefferson, and Mike Dunleavy bring experience to the table again. He has a lot behind him, even without him playing at a peak level. Do you think that he might take it easy in the regular season, or do you think what's going on in Golden State might give him incentive to try to push harder?
No, because I think, you know, if he wanted to push hard, I think he would have gone to the Olympics and wanted to do these things. And, you know, you're right. He's like, oh, I kind of wanted to do the Olympics, but it's not, you know, I'm sort of too old for that now. And you could say, yeah, he might want to go for the regular season title. But as we've mentioned with teams like players like Westbrook and Harden, they're going to wrap it up easily scoring, you know, 35 points.
Yeah, they're gonna go nuts. And then Harden's gonna have high assist rate because of D'Antoni. That's a whole other thing. But but the thing with LeBron is that even in the playoffs, his points were kind of tame. Like he would not take over a game. And then that series in the Eastern Conference Finals got tied, and then LeBron took over.
Well, because he didn't need to, because the first two rounds were just.
It's almost like DEFCON mode, where when it goes up a level, LeBron goes up a level. And then, obviously, down 3-1 against the Warriors was DEFCON 5. And he said, okay, fuck it. I'm taking over. And I dare the Warriors to stop me.
Yep. Basically, that's it. Mm-hmm. So I don't know what else.
Like, you put your hands up in the air with Cleveland, because it kind of is shocking that they even won the whole thing. But it's probably the greatest win in Cleveland, unless you can count the Indians. I mean, I think we might be prognosticating a little bit here. Let me say this: if the Cavaliers hadn't won it and the Cleveland's won the World Series, which would have been a bigger win?
The Cavaliers.
It still would have been the Cavaliers, even if they had won a championship after the Indians.
Hey, Cleveland, the Cavaliers, you just watch, you could see the difference, because it was LeBron, that was what was supposed to happen the first time. And the Indians, baseball, don't forget, as much as some people will fight for baseball to the death, mm-hmm. it's really, an old hat, and it doesn't have the luster it used to.
Yeah, and then you got all the ratings bonanza with the Cubs. Now the thing that's interesting too is that the Cleveland Cavaliers start the season against the Knicks on TNT. That might go. There's a possibility that might be going on around the same time that week as potentially an ALCS or a World Series involving the Cleveland Indians. Do you think that, or maybe even the Cubs, who have been just taking over, in terms of ratings? Do you think that might be a problem for the NBA? Along with the election.
For the viewers, no. Because, I don't think there's much crossover appeal with baseball. Because, mm-hmm. These games are televised outside of Cleveland. The people in Cleveland, they might have issues. But I'm going to watch basketball over baseball either way. Somebody who's a baseball fan is going to be like, I don't care about basketball.
Isn't Cleveland Stadium literally right across the street from Quicken Loans? Like literally in the same neighborhood.
I don't know.
Well, they could all just go to the Browns game after that
and watch them lose. let's get that losing feeling back. Let's bring the Browns back in.
Let me say this. God comes to a Cleveland fan and says, I will give you a Cavaliers championship, the Indians winning a World Series, or the Browns winning the Super Bowl, but I can only give you one. Which one do you take?
Well, everybody, I assume, would take the football one, because the football is seen by more people. It has more odds of getting a casual. Oh yeah, Browns, love the Browns. Mm-hmm. And first would be like, yeah, you're shitting me.
One way or another, the sports curse is over, because they sort of bundled the Browns and the Indians with it. The Cleveland Cavaliers almost took the burden off of them in a ways, even though they didn't really do that. They just kind of made the fans feel better, not the fan bases,
The thing with the Cubs is people are watching because of the long drought and curse. Mm-hmm. Let's say the Cubs win or lose next year. Nobody's going to watch them next year because
And I'm not a baseball fan, but just by watching it, the Cubs are scary. Like, it's just weird watching a Cubs team that other teams are scared to play against, because the Cubs are always the team that chokes. They're the ones that always crumble under pressure, and all the other teams crumble under the pressure of the Cubs. It's kind of weird. But that's just more of a testament to how they built that team. But that's baseball.
A testament, and really, how many dominating teams are there anymore? There's not really. You don't see the Yankees of the yesteryear, where it's up. They're going to be in the final, like the NBA. Yeah. You're not going to see the same two teams 3 years in a row. It's just like, well, you have a lot of mediocrity out there, and
yeah.
It's an even year, so shouldn't San Francisco be in the finals? But
that's what makes it so interesting with the Cubs. Like, you just never know. It's like a moment's note. It's like Bartman. Like, you just never know. You never know when it might pop up. But for the Cavaliers, they had to overspend big time to do this. They spent money to get Tristan Thompson at the deadline at the regular season, but they signed him $15 million a year. But was he worth it after watching him in the finals?
Well, he gave you what he was supposed to give you. He's the one sort of defensive guy, because Kevin Love's not the defensive.
And offensive rebounds. Yeah.
Yeah, he's the one who's going to do it. All of a sudden it's like, Tristan Thompson scored 10 points? When did this happen? He's never shot 5 shots in a game.
J.R. Smith making about $14 million a year with that non-guaranteed third year, I believe, or fourth year.
Fourth year is not guaranteed, which is smart, because it's like, he's 31, and but he came out of high school, so he has mileage, and rather than later, he's going to become more Kyle Korver than the defensive.
Now, he still led the team in three-pointers made, I mean, he's very valuable. In that third quarter in the game seven, he's the one that hit the threes that closed the lead. So he or close the deficit. So yeah, I mean, he's a very valuable player for them, and he's also he can literally get hot in a matter of minutes.
He's a shooter. Know? That's what he does.
Iman Shumpert at $9 million a year. He's got a player option 2019, so he's going to be there for a while. Can he still provide?
I don't know.
Tall defensive guard. That's the one thing that the Cavaliers have always had. They have bigger guards. You know, even J.R. Smith's not exactly a shrimp. You know, the smallest guard is Kyrie Irving, and Kyrie Irving is deceptively strong.
He's 5'9" Kay Felder now.
Mm-hmm. Who they have been playing a little bit. Now, Mo Williams retired. Will he be missed?
As a third string player whose best years were like 10 years ago?
He did get that layup on that leak out when LeBron stole the ball in Game 7. You remember that one?
Yeah.
That was I'm pretty sure that was his last basket.
They will miss Dalia Dova's defensive intensity more than anything because they don't
also the back screen, the illegal back screens on offense by Dellavedova, he just always found a way to get under people's skin, whether it be screening on offense or flopping on defense or just taking cheap shots after whistles. You know, he's just one of those kinds of players. But do you think Dellavedova will be missed even though he was sort of out of the rotation by the end?
Yes, he will be missed.
Okay. And then we already kind of spoke about the big three. Timofey Mozgov, he's with the Lakers now.
He just got injured and couldn't get back into that lineup because of all the high-priced people they bought in. He was good the first when he was there. It was just...
Well, the one thing I think they'll be missing is just a big body. You know, that was one of the strengths of Cleveland defensively. They were third in points allowed. They were ninth in rebounding. They were 10th in defensive efficiency. Now, they were 27th in blocks. But I will say this. They really picked it up in terms of blocks and steals in the playoffs, even though in the regular season they did not, they were at a very, very low level, 28th in steals and 27 blocks. But in the playoffs, they really picked it up, especially when they started drilling their threes and forcing teams to make really rash decisions on offense. But for Mozgov, they're just going to miss a guy who can come in for Tristan Thompson and relieve him.
Yeah,
and
but they
you
got
can still
old,
have a five.
You got old man Chris Anderson now.
Mm-hmm. And he still looks pretty. He's got the beard still going, right?
And everything tattooed and
yeah. They re-signed James Jones, who's more of a kind of like a locker room leader. Jordan McRae is back. I get a feeling we're going to see a little bit more of Jordan McRae than you would think. I think he was the game plan if J.R. Smith did not re-sign before the season started. I think he would have been coming in off at the two, unless it was Shumpert.
But. You know, you could do that. Okay, you lose shooting, but as long as you have Irving, Love, and LeBron, it doesn't really matter who you put around them.
Mm-hmm.
As you saw, they made people like Mozgov and Dellavedova get paid because of just being on the court with them.
Okay, what's the realistic bottoming out for Cleveland? Losing in the conference finals or just losing in the finals? Like, what's the worst case scenario?
The worst case scenario is LeBron gets injured and there's no backup to him.
If LeBron gets hurt, I still think this is an Eastern Conference Finals team.
They are now. It's a challenge to make the Eastern Conference Finals.
It would be, but I still think they could make it. I'll just put it that way.
It wouldn't be an easy round. It would
like
be
Kyrie Irving is a matchup nightmare for every guard. Offensively, he's just blessed.
He's a matchup, but you don't have that killer, you know, there's no, you have your stretch five and either Love or Love or Fry, but, you know, you have a big, big hole that you could easily expose because Richard Jefferson is the backup.
And he was going to retire and they convinced him to come back. And now they got Mike Dunleavy.
You're going to have one of those two guys play 30, 40 minutes. That's, you know, you can pull it off. But that's going to be a Game 7 squeaker as opposed to, oh, yeah, they should solidly knock it out.
Yeah, and I don't really see too many changes in terms of their team stats. Like, I mean, maybe blocks and steals will go up like it did in the postseason. But free throws made, they were 25th. I don't think that's going to change because they're not much of an attacking team after LeBron and Irving. You know, Love's more of a shooter. Pace, they were 28th. I don't think that's going to change. That's how they won the championship.
Nope.
They slowed Golden State down, and they blitzed every pick and roll that they put Curry in. You know,
They got their buddy in as a coach, so remember when he first got hired, he's like, I'm going to change everything. And
then, we want to speed things up. We want to speed things up is what he said.
And
yeah.
And literally nothing. It's like, yeah, you're not doing anything.
No, that was just a challenge to see if LeBron was on the same page as him. And when LeBron was doing quotes saying, yeah, we need to do what Coach Lou is telling us, that was the first sign of, oh, okay, LeBron's now on, like, what's the word I'm looking for? LeBron board. Is on the same page, on board, yeah, with everybody else. And now in the playoffs, they're going to start taking over, you know, because LeBron is sort of like dialed in now with the coach. But congratulations to the Cleveland Cavaliers. Now you got to defend it. And there's a very likely chance that the team they're going to be winding up defending that championship against in the NBA Finals in 2017 is the same team that they played against in 2016 and 15. And that is the Golden State Warriors. What do you have to say about the Warriors here? Not much, huh?
What can we say? You made your
that
super
they're gonna
team.
Win. They're gonna win 78 games.
They're not gonna win that many games. It's just...
give me your number. I've got my number. Give me your number for number of wins. Like you're over under.
They'll probably 66.
I say 70. I think they're gonna try to crack 70.
See, I think they might, you know, since they were not going to be trying to chase the record anymore.
No, but I think they went back-to-back 70-win seasons, which has never been done. I think they're going to try for that.
I think there's going to be a little, like, maybe we should rest some of our guys a day or two now.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, okay, there's a super team. How are they going to, everybody's going to be going hard at them every day. And, you know, Zaza Pachulia, great signing. Varejao, both they're old. Iguodala, as we've mentioned, has been old. It's just the same thing we say every year. If Curry gets injured, if his ankles start acting up, having Sean Livingston and no backup to him.
Yeah, well, it's also a team borrowed if you really look at the numbers, because Andre Iguodala, Sean Livingston, David West on a one-year deal, Zaza Pachulia on a one-year deal, basically on a ring quest, Ian Clark, Anderson Varejao being re-signed in 1 year, a restricted free agency for James McAdoo. All those guys are going to be free agents in 2017. I didn't even count Steph Curry and Kevin Durant, because Curry's deal is up, and you know he's going to be getting the max. And then Durant is going to have a player option, and he is very likely to take it so that he's eligible for the 10-year veterans maximum, which is over $30 million, or over $32 million, I believe, right? So
yeah,
there's a
so
lot of spend. There's a lot of changes that are gonna happen next summer anyway.
You have a very expensive starting lineup, and then after that, it just becomes very old and anemic.
Can you by any nature call this blowing up the team? You lose Harrison Barnes, Andrew Bogut, Festus Ezeli, Mo Spates, and Leandro Barbosa, all of whom were key contributors to their rotation. And two
stars. It's one of those, well, who wouldn't do it? Oh, you could get your role players and bench, or you could trade it in for one of the top three players in the NBA.
The second best small forward in the NBA, and probably one of the five best small forwards in NBA history. Yeah.
Yeah, you could trade. Of course, you trade. It's more of the deal with the devil type mm-hmm. teams. It's just, well, you're going to go all in this. This is your team. It has to work. You're now like the Olympic, you know, you're the Olympic super team.
Would you call it a dream team? A regular season dream team? Maybe an apocalypse lineup instead of a death lineup?
Not with Zaza Pachulia.
Well, no, like let's say, for example, they're able to pull this off, you know, in terms of efficiency and their plus minus with this five being the best one. Curry at the one, Klay Thompson at the two, Andre Iguodala at the three, Durant at the four, and Draymond Green at the five.
Incredibly small team.
That can switch everything.
It could switch, you know, you could say that, but let's say you go against Denver, and you have to go up against Nurkic.
the two-headed monster of Nurkic Jokic.
Very physical team.
Mm-hmm.
That's going to, you know, you're going to start, you know, wearing down Kevin Durant's body if you run small like that.
Well, even the Spurs. I mean, the one thing that Cleveland showed that really was a wart in Golden State's side was that was that whenever there's two things you got to do to Curry. When he gets put in a screen, you've got to rush him so that he gets the ball out of his hands. And the other one is that defensively, because of the switching on the death lineup, you force Curry to have to switch on bigger guys and basically put him in the spin cycle on the pick and roll or on the screens. You know, so if they're going to switch everything, you make them pay for switching everything. You get mismatched lineups, and if you have to play bigger and you have to play more physical, like you're saying, then you're able to get matchups where you're able to rough up Curry. The whole idea is to rough up Curry because he's interesting.
Basically, and you know, you could sort of see that's the way Sacramento is building their team. They're saying, who's the best and how do we beat the best?
Yes.
Okay, they're going to be small, so let's get bigger, stronger guys in, and then you have to grind through all of them. And
that's
our backups
point.
Are even bigger than our starting lineup. And you have
it's
to grind.
It's just too
through.
Bad that they don't know how to get the right guys.
Mm-hmm.
They have the right idea. They just don't know how to get the right guys.
And
you
look,
know,
that's the Memphis style too. So you're going to have to rely on this finesse outer shooting. And that's why Atlanta was superior in their normal regular season because nobody really cared. Also, when playoffs came, well, they fell apart the last 2 years because, well, you have to be grinded out.
Yes, and then it's points come at a premium, and if you can't get them, then you know you're gonna have to basically borrow points at the free throw line. That was the one thing that the Warriors were not great at, or one of the few things was free throws made. They were 20th. Now with Durant coming in, who knows? That might leap into the top 10. But I do ask you this: they were second in pace. They were seventh in experience last year. Fifth in defensive efficiency, not points allowed. Their points allowed was 21st. But they were first in points per game, first in field goal percentage, first in assists per game, first in offensive efficiency, obviously. First in three-point percentage and makes. Fourth in rebounding also. Now with Bogut gone, who knows? Where do you see the dip here? Because there's going to be whenever you make a big wholesale change like that, like they did in Golden State, you are going to have changes in your team categories in terms of your rankings. Where does it stop? Like you can't do any better than first in all the offensive categories, but defensively they might take some hits. But like, where do you see the deviation?
It's going to be all on defense. On offense, it's just, you know, the pace category, I think, is a little deceptive because, yeah, you have a high pace if Curry just dribbles it down and then shoots a 40-footer and makes it.
Mm-hmm.
Your pace is going to go up because, well,
you only had 10 seconds on the ball, yeah.
Yeah, so that's, like, deceptive. And just the fact they made all their threes, it's just, again, this is like the Cleveland thing. I'm just going to throw my hands up. What can you say about this team? If they get cold, this team is doomed. If they can't hit their threes, this team is doomed. If Curry gets injured, this team is doomed.
But their offense is so good, they'll probably win most games by accident. Like,
well, they should just stroll through with most of the games. You know, don't forget, you got to play four games against the Lakers, four games against Phoenix. And you're going to win those by halftime.
Yes, and with Durant, you know, he's a guy who is a pretty good team player. He's a good defensive player. He proved in that small ball, like, what did they call it, the Megadeth lineup for Oklahoma City when they played against Golden State. When Durant played the four against Green, he was very effective. Like, he showed that he can. That was almost, it was weird because it was almost the performance that Durant had against the Warriors that proved to the Warriors that he could blend with Green and Thompson and Curry because he can play the four defensively and switch, you know, which he was not able to show in other incarnations of the playoffs when they played against other teams. It just so happened that they went small, and when Durant played the four in a small lineup, he was pretty effective defensively. Offensively, Kevin Durant's incredible. He's probably better than Curry, to be honest with you. You know,
yeah,
but
on an unrelated note, he was kind of terrible in the Olympics too.
You talking about Durant?
Yeah.
Well, in the knockout round, he went pretty crazy. Like, but that's just his MO. His MO is that in the knockout rounds, he's really hard because he can just drill threes at any time. You know, and that sort of speaks to the Warrior strength, you know, 3-point shooting and how quick can you get the shot up? Well, Durant can get a lot of shots up without any problem. He can also get to the free throw line a lot. So there's just a lot of things there that Durant can provide you that you just never had before. But I don't see 73 wins. I think 70 is a reasonable possibility.
That's why I said 66, because they might give some players a break, and then you have a very big very big drop off on your bench, which happens with these super teams.
Do you see anything less than the finals?
No.
You think they have to make, like, that it's a guarantee they'll make the finals?
Pretty much. That everything, anything else would be a failure.
Well, that is true. I mean, but it doesn't mean they won't fail. You know, I mean, it's possible. JaVale McGee, how much are we going to see him?
Well, he'll play.
Can he be the Anderson Varejao, which is the guy that a really smart playoff team takes advantage of, if, you know, depending on, because here's the problem that Steve Kerr had. When Bogut went out, he was so dead set on the traditional standard of, well, I need a big guy out there because Cleveland is throwing out their Love and Thompson, so I need to combat two bigs with two bigs. Well, they had to put out there Anderson Varejao and Festus Ezeli, and they were garbage. Like, that really cost them the series. That was one of the big things that cost them the series. It was a bad miscalculation by Kerr. Do you think JaVale McGee could be that problem, or you think Zsa is going to get most of those minutes?
Zsa will get most of the minutes, but McGee, again, low risk, you know, veteran minimum deal. Why not?
David West, how much are we going to see him?
He was supposed to be the X factor for San Antonio, wasn't he? Didn't really do much there.
He played okay in the playoffs. In the regular season, he was kind of a no-show. But yeah, I have some issues there. James McAdoo, is this it for him? Like, he's got to prove he can play, right?
He can't get on the court with the players in front of him. It's just, I don't think he was ever that good, but.
Then there's Kevon Looney, Damian Jones, and Patrick McCaw. What do you see there?
Looney, injury concerns. Damian Jones, just developmental role. See you in Santa Cruz. Patrick McCaw has been getting a lot of minutes in preseason, so I think they might try to find a spot for him.
Before, let's pour our 40 on the death lineup. How much are you going to miss Harrison Barnes?
None.
But you terrible. Are pissing all over Harrison Barnes. Here's the thing, though. He made the death lineup in a ways what it was. You know, because he was the weak link of the small ball lineup.
It's not that the weak link. You need the fifth guy who's just there. You can't play 4-on-5. And, you know, it was one of those, he was terrible because he's like, oh, I could shoot too. It's just like, no, maybe you shouldn't.
Who do they miss most? Festus Ezeli, Mo Spates, or Leandro Barbosa?
Barbosa provide a spark for them off the bench. Spites, you know, big men are just big men. And
well, he was also a very bubbly personality. They liked him in the locker room. That's the one thing I've heard about Spates, too. Bogut, I didn't even put him in there because they're going to miss Bogut. I mean,
they admit they're going to miss Bogut. That's a nice, you know, hey, we got this, but in order to do it, we had to get rid of Bogut. Hey, we liked him. It was just one of those business moves.
It's just it's a tough one. I mean, he's a really good shot blocker, a good defensive rebounder, underrated passer, team player. You know, the problem was injuries. You know, and he went down at the absolute wrong time.
Story of his career.
It's hard to kind of wrap up the Golden State Warriors, you know, with just kind of like a summary of it. But basically, it's championship or bust for a team like this. But like if they max out, where would you put them in the pantheon? Like, what could they be? How good could they be?
I don't know. They could say, well, they could be the best team of all time, but, well, they bought it. It's not an, you know, there's the definition has changed between what's the best team. Well, it's not an organic team of, you know, we developed our core. These are our guys. They've been with us forever, as opposed to, yeah, we bought it.
Yeah. And that's going to be doing it here with Golden State. Now let's go ahead and talk about the other team in the Western Conference, and that is the Los Angeles Clippers.
We had to put somebody to challenge. Nobody's challenging in the East. The division is too high, but there has to be one. You have to put one spoiler in, and on paper, this is the team.
Here's the thing too. Look at the hierarchy of the West from the regular season standings. The Thunder have taken a fall. the Spurs have taken a fall, whether Spurs fans want to admit it to themselves or not. They are going to take a dip. You know, you're not going to win 67 games. You're not going to be as good defensively without Tim Duncan and Boris Diaw. You know, that's just something that's going to happen. Now, are the Clippers good enough that they just completely leap over them and they're clearly better than them? That's debatable. But I will say this for the Clippers. This is it. I mean, they got to get it done this year. Is that correct?
They doubled down on this has to be our time. Mm-hmm. Last year, everything, the same way everything came up heads for Golden State, mm-hmm. it came up tails for the Clippers.
Yes. And it was just rotten luck. I mean, it still goes back to that horrible performance again in the down the stretch against the Rockets. I mean, do you think that still haunts them? The 3-1 choke job?
Yeah.
But then again, the Warriors choked too. I mean, how that's another, you know, let's revisit that for a second. Do you think that has any kind of hanging effect for the Golden State Warriors, or because of the fact that it was Cleveland and the mystique and Believeland and all that stuff, and it was LeBron, that they can just kind of throw that away and say, oh, that was just an anomaly?
No, there's a difference between a choke job and then the better team, you know, the best player rose up to defeat mm-hmm. you, as opposed to we threw that game away, which the Clippers threw it did. And they, you know, Chris Paul, he's very dangerously close to falling off the edge.
He's 31 years old. A little bit, you know, I mean, he's getting up there in age for sure. Still an elite player, but injury risks are definitely an issue. Broke his hand in the playoffs.
But, you know, the days of being a number top three point guard.
Like, how many would you put ahead of him? You know, you'd have Westbrook, you'd have Damian Lillard. Is that arguable?
You could argue Damian Lillard, now that Harden's a point guard. You got Kyrie Irving, who's young. You got John Wall, who
Curry
should be getting better. You got Curry. It's just there's, you know, it's a downhill for a tiny point guard the way he is.
What do you think of the idea that Doc Rivers has put out there in the media that they might splinter Paul and Griffin with the lineups? Basically, like, Griffin is like leader of Team A and Paul's leader of Team B.
You need to do something. You need to change it up somehow.
Well, the bench is so bad. I guess the idea is that Griffin can come off the bench sometimes, try to work him into the lineup with the quad injury so that you don't overplay him.
It's not that the bench is bad. It's just you've doubled down on this team. And, you know, okay, here's your bench. Austin Rivers, Raymond Felton, Jamal Crawford, Paul Pierce, Brandon Bass, Maurice Spates. Mm-hmm. Wesley Johnson is still there.
Well, Spates, Bass, and Felton were all decent minimum pickups. You know, I have to say. Now, Bryce Johnson has a herniated disc, so we won't see him for a little while. Emba Mute still there and still getting a lot of minutes.
Yeah, but he's not exactly good. And it's just like, yeah, we can have our starting lineup of death, our own version. But what happens when they all need to take a breather? Our second unit is so bad, other teams are going to get hot.
Just give me a wrap-up about Paul Pierce. I heard a rumor he's already planning a sign with the Celtics for a day when he retires after the season.
He's already on his farewell tour. It sounded like he wanted to retire this year. It's just his loyalty to Doc is, all right, I'll try to muster up some energy for the playoffs again this year.
Yeah, because he couldn't get it. Like, I remember... Remember when Paul broke his hand? Everybody, because people remember how he played for the Wizards, and they were like, "Oh, it's Paul Pierce time. Paul Pierce is going to come up and play well." And in that game five, he had nothing, you know. And it was like it was almost kind of sad, where you came to the realization, okay, Pierce ain't got it no more. And I think he came to that realization in the offseason. But like you said, it's a favor to Doc. I want to do this for you this last year, and then I'm gone.
Mm-hmm.
Austin Rivers, he was re-signed. $10 million a year. Ooh, man.
Oh, who's the GM?
Oh, yeah. they do have a small guard lineup, you know, with J.J. Redick. Jamal Crawford is tall, but he's skinny still, even though he got re-signed at age 36. Jamal Crawford's kind of – he's one of those guys who's just like – he's almost like J.R. Smith. Even though J.R. Smith is 30, Jamal Crawford's much older. But he's just one of those guys who, like, he's just guaranteed points. Like, he's just guaranteed quality to me. Like, no matter what you sign him for, he's going to get you your points. He's going to get you what you need.
Yeah, and it's just, you know, we could say, well, what's the flaw on this team is, well, they have to play, and they always somehow find ways to injure themselves and get snake bit.
their guard play after Paul is their huge is their biggest weakness to me, and also
their play out of anybody. You know, you lose DeAndre Jordan, you get free throw shooting, but nothing else behind that.
Mm-hmm.
You lose Blake Griffin, you have no dynamic anything behind him. It's just, well, we got our big three, and we have to live and die by them.
And their small forward quandary is still there. They never were able to figure that out. They still got this, like you had illustrated, they still got to make the choice between Wes Johnson, Emba Mute, and old Paul Pierce, or go small with Redick, Crawford, and Paul, which is just not it's not reasonable, because you would rather have Crawford come off of the bench to try to bolster your scoring off the bench. You know, it's tough. And then Felton is a point guard. Brandon Bass is a four. Spates is more of a five. You know, they still have not figured that. Allen Anderson might get minutes. Is that possible?
They're so crunched up against the cap, and they gave Wes Johnson a new contract too. And
yeah, aren't they on something called the cap apron, where you've used your stretch provisions, you've used your buyouts, you literally have no more room to spend. Like, that was the reason they couldn't re-sign Jeff Green.
That, and he's terrible.
Jeff Green is gone. Cole Aldrick is gone. He went to Minnesota. Pablo Prigioni. CJ Wilcox, Brandon Dawson, they cut after that domestic incident. Who do they – are they going to miss any of them? A lot of people thought Aldrich gave them a lot more than people expected.
Yeah, they did, but if there's you can't – it's just Doc, the GM, is terrible, and he basically has convinced, you know, ownership in the team, like, this has to be our window is closing perhaps next year.
This is it. If you look at the free agency next year, Chris Paul has a player option. We already heard the rumors about Banana Boat, which I think is real. Do you think Banana Boat is real?
Who knows?
A potential opt out in 17 and 18 where Melo, Wade, Paul, Wade, Melo, and LeBron. Weren't those the four that stood together at the ESPYs?
Something like that.
It's the idea that they all would play together.
Yeah, you could say that, but they're all... That would have been an awesome story 5 years ago. Now it's like, well, that's a time-borrowed lineup.
Blake Griffin has a player option 2017, very likely to take it, even though he does have the injury history. J.J. Redick's contract's up. He's going to get pretty good coin, you know, because he's a much better defensive player than J.R. Smith or Kyle Korver.
Yeah, but his time is limited, too. This is why we have him here. This is the team that could be the upset special.
Yeah, it's now or never. You know, and we didn't even talk about the fact that they have a lot of options in 2018 between DeAndre Jordan, Jamal Crawford's team option, Rivers, Johnson. This could all be blown. All these people could be gone by 2018. Realistically, yep. It's one of those things. DeAndre Jordan seemed to really take a leap in the Olympics defensively. Do you think that he's become their best player?
No.
No?
Don't forget the Olympics. Who are you playing against? If you don't have – I'm using quotes. I know you can't see me, but super team like Spain. Mm-hmm. You're going against, you know, EuroLeague players who aren't even in the top European –
Yeah, the traditional two big lineup where the second big is like a garbage player, you know.
Yeah, you're playing the Lithuanian team whose star player is in the Croatian league.
Yeah, Jonas Valanciunas and then Darius Sungailer or somebody like that.
Yeah, you're not going against Real Madrid and that quality. It's just like, well, yeah, you have drop offs after that. And it's like, well, yeah, it's easy to be a defensive giant against players of, you know, who are in domestic leagues.
Any team with Chris Paul as a point guard never has a problem offensively. They were 6th in points per game, 7th in field goal percentage, 12th in assists, 6th in offensive efficiency, 6th in three-pointers made, 6th in three-point percentage, 10th in three free throws made. They were obviously 27th in free throw percentage because of DeAndre Jordan being so bad. Defensively, solid. 10th in blocks, 6th in efficiency defensively, 7th in steals. They don't turn the ball over a lot. Their experience level is very high, like we were just talking about, because they're a little older. They're middle of the pack in pace. The one big problem statistically is that they are – they cannot handle the Golden State Warriors on defense. Even though Paul is very physical with Curry, they have never been able to really handle the Warriors in terms of points per possession. The Warriors always rock them. Do you think that maybe that little divot where the Warriors are trying to work out the kinks with Durant there, that they might have an opening to try to take that spot away for home court advantage in the Western Conference? Is that feasible?
No, because Doc has often said, we can win on the road. You know, that was the whole Celtics mantra of, you know, let's just save ourselves the playoffs. If we need to be the five seed, we'll be the five seed. We don't
reserve your energy because you're older. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so, and that makes sense. You got Paul at 31, Crawford's 36, J.J. Redick is 32, DeAndre Jordan and Griffin are 27 and 28, respectively. So, I mean, that makes sense. But Blake Griffin, is this his last year with the Clippers?
If he wants it to be, literally every team who's not Cleveland, Golden State, or Portland will offer him a max deal. So
yeah,
he can go wherever he wants and go into any situation he wants.
You know where he would be perfect? Toronto.
He would be their missing piece.
Yeah, I mean, Well, I wouldn't trade Valanciunas. You could probably play Griffin with Valanciunas, but I think that would actually, if we were doing fantasy free agents, I think that would actually work. But that's another team that I was thinking about that just doesn't have the room, and it would be impossible. But yeah, Griffin would probably make about 20. He would probably get about $26 to $27 million max. Would that be reasonable?
Yeah.
Yeah, somewhere around there. Even though
there's injury concerns, they'd still do it.
Yeah, I mean, you got to take the chance. You got to take the chance. They had 53 wins last year, which I think was actually kind of underachieving because remember you had the injury to Blake. He only played 35 games. Where would you I would max him out at 60 wins.
I would have said 60.
I think they can win 60 games. Now, will they have a better record than the Golden State Warriors?
Nope.
Ooh, I don't know about that. But I mean, is there a chance that they could be the new Thunder, like the one that's the thorn in their side in the playoffs? It hasn't shown up in the regular season yet, but then again, didn't the Golden State Warriors make a habit out of torturing the Thunder in the regular season, and then all of a sudden in the playoffs the Thunder were like had them all figured out?
Yep.
So you never ever know. I mean, maybe Doc's got a trick up his sleeve. I mean, I doubt it, but you never know with Doc. I mean, do you have any regret over having this team at this top tier, spoiler alert tier, over the Spurs, the Raptors, the Celtics?
Spurs lost somebody. The Raptors are nowhere near the level of Cleveland. And the Celtics are too young. It's just by default, on paper, they're the ones that are the ones. Everybody else got worse but them.
Okay. Now, this is probably going to be our easiest ranking system because we have the least amount of teams. So let's do this in terms of rankings. And we're going 3-1. Adam, give me number 3 on your rankings for the season.
It's easy. Clippers 3.
Okay, I would say Clippers. But I have no problem having the Clippers over the Spurs or the Celtics or the Raptors.
Exactly. That's why they're here. We can't
That's why teams. Both of us agreed that maybe we should move them up here. And then we go to the top two. For me, number two is Cleveland. I still think Cleveland is the second best team in the league.
It doesn't matter. Cleveland is number one because they're the champions.
Which is a reasonable way of looking at
that's,
it, too.
You know, you're the champion. You start off as number one, and then all you could do is go down.
Yeah, you're the defending champ. Someone's got to take you out. And we're not going to know that until May or June. So so I got Golden State, and you got Cleveland number one and Golden State number two. Do you think that like I was saying about during the Clipper preview, do you think that idea with Kevin Durant trying to work things out, trying to find a rotation, you think that might cause some issues? Maybe they lose maybe 3 or 4 games in the month of November?
No, but they're going to probably lose a game or two here and there. It was just their insanely hot start the first time last year that people sort of have these unrealistic expectations for them now that, oh, they're going to go undefeated. They're going to win 76 games this year, you know, stuff like that.
Okay, and we also have to kind of let's do this first. Let's just do kind of short predictions on just generalized awards, just to give us a good guess, even though we could all laugh at it later. Give me your MVP.
Regular season MVP, I think, is going to go to Westbrook.
I think it'll be LeBron James. I think this will be LeBron's last regular season MVP. Defensive player of the year. Kawhi's won the last 2 years, and Draymond has been runner-up both times.
I'd probably say Kawhi again. It's a safe, uninspired bet.
I'll say DeAndre Jordan. I think the Clippers are going to start to turn it up defensively. I think they've realized the only way to beat the Warriors is just be a strong defensive team.
Okay.
And they're going to use Jordan as the linchpin. Rookie of the year.
That is a tough one. Embiid?
like the Griffin kind of way where he – because remember, Griffin had been hurt. He broke his kneecap, I think, and he missed his whole rookie year, his first year. And then he came his second year when John Wall was a rookie, and he was like the runaway for rookie of the year.
Well, Simmons is out. They are going to
– Yeah, he's a Jones fracture in his foot.
They are going to keep him out for the entire year. Ingram's not starting. The only one who's going to get minutes on a bad team, I think, will be Marquise Chris.
Mm-hmm. But the Phoenix Suns. Him and Tyler Ulis. I've seen Ulis get a lot of blow, too, for that team.
Yeah, but that's just preseason. It's going to be that same ugly two-headed monster. So, by default, the only player who's really going to have minutes and time to shine, I think, will be Embiid.
For me, man, I want to say Saric. I'm not sure about that anymore, to be honest with you. Embiid is a decent choice. I don't think Chris Dunn is catching up quickly enough for his rookie year. I'll go out on a limb and I'll say Jamal Murray with the Nuggets.
Cousin Jamal.
Because they're already starting him. Because I believe somebody has got an injury. Oh, it's Gary Harris. Gary Harris is out with a injury, and they're already starting Jamal Murray in Denver. So I'll go out on a limb and I'll say Jamal Murray. Cousin Jamal.
I cannot argue. That's a very good choice.
Not Jaylen Brown, but I will say this. Jaylen Brown is the playoff rookie performer where you're like, oh, wow. You know, I'll say that. Like, I think we're going to see more Jaylen Brown than you think.
Oh, yeah. I think he's going to – he has that – the thing about him is he's willing to learn. He doesn't come in as the, oh, I'm the AAU super kid.
Mm-hmm.
He's the, I know what I need to do. I'm going to put in work, which – I don't think really you see much of that anymore.
And the rookie, you said Chris, I think the other rookie we're going to see a lot more of than we expected. I think we're going to see a lot of Denzel Valentine with the Bulls because I think they're going to really obsess with this like this heavy guard lineup with taller guards like Rondo and Wade, and they're going to throw bodies at people, and they're going to throw out their Valentine at the three. You know, that's just like an assumption for me. That Bulls team is very weird. I don't know if you've watched any of their preseason play, but they've toted out weird, weird lineups.
They are going to be a horrible shooting team.
Yes, yes. I mean, where they have like Portis playing, trailing behind Rondo and Wade on the attack on fast breaks where they're not really playing fast. If Rondo looks decent. You know, Doug McDermott's getting more play. It's a weird team. I mean, I don't want to do sixth man of the year, most improved player. Those are such weird subjective awards. I mean, do you have
A pick? Who's going to most improve? Who do you see stepping up this year? Sixth man is, you know, it's always going to be like Crawford or somebody who doesn't, you know.
Can Coach Embiid count?
No. No, he can't count.
Man, that's a really good question. You kind of caught me off guard. I don't really have a great answer, to be totally honest with you. Usually it's like a second or third year player. It can't be Devin Booker because he played too well his rookie year. It's got to be somebody who just didn't play well at all. Zach LaVine?
Okay, you could. That's a safe
the Minnesota pick. Timberwolves win an award every year. They're the Meryl Streep of of bad NBA teams. They have to win an award every year, or at least get nominated. So I'll just say Zach LaVine because I think Thibodeau's got some plans for LaVine at the two. I don't know what the plans are, but he's got a decent idea of what he wants to do with them. Did you have one?
Maybe Tyler Johnson.
Tyler Johnson with the Heat. Okay.
The Heat or. I want to say maybe I'm having trouble thinking of somebody from the Brooklyn Nets, but somebody has to step up on that team, like maybe Bogdanovich.
Well, he actually didn't he have a 40-point game earlier in the year?
He was injured and
yeah,
you know, comeback player of the year. A good story would be Anthony Bennett, who looked pretty decent in preseason to be from the, you know, the too lofty expectations to be out of the league because he didn't care to getting back in. So
yeah, well, there's Gravis Vasquez, Caris LeVert, Trevor Booker. There's a couple of them. Rondae Hollis Jefferson. That might be another one that you might be thinking about.
He would be comeback because of his injury shortage.
Yeah. Okay. And now let's just talk about some of the ones with the injuries or recent events as we were doing the previews that we might want to interject with in case we want to change our minds or if we want to move them up or down the up or down or if we would be willing to move them up or down. Ben Simmons with the broken foot, the Jones fracture. We don't know how long he's going to be out. Very likely he's going to be out for 4 to 6 months. What would you do? Philly was already in the bottom tier. Please stop believing.
Weren't they already in the bottom two of the bottom tier? You can't get any lower than
these. I had them at the top, actually, of the tier. I personally did. But I would probably put them second to last now behind the Nets. I think the Nets are the worst, personally. You know? And so, yeah, they're Michael Carter Williams is going to likely be traded to the Bulls in exchange for Tony Snell. Tony Snell's going to the Bucks. That we'll talk about the Bucks in a second because that's connected with something else. But the Bulls with Michael Carter Williams, another tall guard
who can't shoot.
That's true.
The only team I think that has made major movement in this offseason is the Miami Heat. You lose Chris Bosh. You have nobody behind him. You have Derek Williams who is a tweener, and he's now your starting four.
You're going to have to play James Johnson. You're going to have to play Willie Reed.
Who's a three.
Yeah, and it's going to be tough. Know,
they have dropped down a tier or two.
A lot of Justice Winslow and Josh Richardson, though. So if you're fans of those guys, you're going to love that team.
And then Deion Waiters will still take 15 shots for no reason.
Gordon Hayward broke his finger. He's going to be out 4 to 6 weeks, likely to miss at least the first 3 weeks of the regular season. Do you think Utah will be okay? We had Utah in the Gotta Pulse, which is like the teams that are going to probably have winning records or 40-win records.
It'll hurt them a bit, but depending upon their schedule, if they get some of these crappy teams first.
Mm-hmm.
Well, it is one of those. They could have the good teams first that they were going to lose to anyway.
Well, having young, deep nucleus with Lyles and Hood and Dante Exum coming back, that helps them, along with the fact that they brought over George Hill and Joe Johnson. So I think they could bridge the gap there, and they can carry them. And maybe this is the catapult to Rudy Gobert becoming like a beastly type of star player, you know, in Hayward's absence. You think that's possible?
Then that changes the dynamic of the team.
Yeah.
Really. You're losing a traditional three and replacing him with really anything.
Okay, Chris Middleton's torn hamstring. They made trades where they traded Tyler Ennis for Michael Beasley, and they traded, we already talked about MCW going to the Bulls for Tony Snell. Where we had the Bucks at the second to last tier called NAB, but where would you put him now?
If you could project anything with Milwaukee and their weird roster, feel free.
I think they're going to be all right. I think they're actually going to stay right at goal with like 40 wins, maybe 38. Like they're a weird team. You know, Thon Maker was one of their rookies who's been very experimental already. Jabari Parker looks really good.
Thon Maker hasn't looked terrible.
No, he makes shots. He can make a jump shot.
He knows where to be. It's one of those kids who's willing to learn and woefully undersized.
And I loved Matthew Dellavedova going there. I think that's a very good fit because they needed a traditional point guard to go with.
You need a point guard if you're playing Giannis at the point. You need a smaller off guard to sort of offset.
But Middleton being gone leaves such a hole at the two, and they really didn't address it with Snell. I mean,
yeah, but they have who was the kid from UNLV? It's not Patrick.
Oh, Rashad Vaughn.
Rashad Vaughn.
Mm-hmm.
If he starts hitting his shots, you know, you don't really have much lost. And then ultimately, who's the real loser of the season? OJ Mayo.
Because he actually could have been re-signed if they wanted to for peanuts, but he's banned.
And then would that team have been horrible without Milton? Oh, they have Mayo. Mayo can make shots. Now, oh, we got nobody.
Reggie Jackson with knee tendonitis. He will be out 6 to 8 weeks for the Pistons.
They got Ish Smith, who's a more than capable backup.
But Reggie is such a better scoring guard than Ish Smith.
He is, but to weather the first couple months, mm-hmm. month or two, that's okay. I'm okay with that on that young team who it's not like a veteran team who loses a point guard, mm-hmm. an explosive point guard, who's like, we don't know what to do. This is a young team who's still finding their way. They could easily adapt, I think.
Yeah, well, that's another guy that might be on the MIP level, Kentavious Caldwell-Pope. But his numbers were good already. I mean, I don't know how much more he can improve. Can he, like, take the jump in becoming, like, maybe the second leading scorer behind Drummond, or maybe the leading scorer ahead of Reggie Jackson? You know, I mean, that would be interesting to see. But, I mean, I worry about that Pistons one. A lot of the other national pundits are, but I'm kind of interested in why you're not as worried that they might be okay. The Pelicans with their typical preseason woes. Tyreke Evans will not be ready. Jrue Holiday is very likely to miss the first 2 months of the season at least. And Anthony Davis turned his ankle in a preseason game. So
the Pelicans are already in midseason form.
I've seen some lineups. This is very, I mean, because I'm a Pelicans fan, so this is the stuff that, sorry, I apologize for the listeners, just the only stuff that I'm interested in, that they played a lot of lineups where they had, like, Tim Frazier starting with Etuan Moore, and then Galloway switches with Frazier, and then Buddy Hield is, like, the sixth man, the scoring sixth man. So, I don't know. Solomon Hill is their firm number three guy. You know, and then I don't know what's going on with Oshik anymore. I'd rather he go away, but we can't trade him. Nobody wants his $10 million a year, at least not yet. You know, maybe we'll wait until injuries pop up and some idiot team will bite on him. But it's a weird team, the Pelicans. They're kind of. I don't even know if Lance Stephenson's going to make the team, is the rumor.
Well, who knows?
Okay, and I mean, I don't know if there's too many other developments. I mean, we've already talked a little bit about the ads that they're stitching onto some of the jerseys, some of them a little bigger than people expected. I think the Kings one was kind of interesting, where people were like, it was a little bit distracting how big the sponsor was. I don't remember what the sponsor actually was.
Blue Almond Diamond, Blue Almond Nuts.
Yeah, I mean, really big. Like, I remember looking at
diamond almonds.
Yeah,
blue almonds, blue almond diamonds.
Did you? Were you intrigued by the WNBA finals between the Sparks and the Lynx?
Season's over already.
I don't even know who won. Who won? I don't know. Who cares?
I didn't even know. Okay. I think we're done. If we're delving into WNBA, I think we're done here.
Could Maya Moore play in an NBA game? Like, if Maya Moore is in the NBA, how many points would she average?
Oh, I think there's a couple of ladies who can make it in the NBA, I think.
Yeah, I don't remember that Sparks player. I think she played at Stanford. I don't remember her name. It's like a long name. She won the league MVP. But, no, I did notice that they were really, like, super promoting during the preseason, because I think they pushed the WNBA finals because the season had been put to a halt because of the Olympics, right? Kind of like they do in the NHL. But for, I don't know how, but somehow the NHL is able to hurry up their season so that they don't delay the Stanley Cup final because of the Winter Olympics. Whereas in the WNBA, that's impossible. You know.
Well, with hockey, you have big arenas that need to. You have firm dates that are penciled in for these. WNBA, really, there's nothing competing against them, so mm-hmm. you're able to be like, "Hey, can we push this back 2 weeks?" As opposed to, "All right, we have made. Well, we might need that arena for a Raw." It's like, but it's the WNBA. Oh, Mohegan Sun Arena. Yeah, you're not going against really anything. It's WNBA. Who cares?
Is there a game that you're looking forward to? Like that's coming up.
Nope. I'm just looking forward to the start of the season, and then we can move on from there. I don't want to look forward to any games, because then you have the day one. Oh, this team.
Well, didn't we have one game where the Bulls beat the Cavaliers when Pau Gasol blocked a shot on LeBron? Everyone was like, you see, the Bulls are still really good. And it was like, no, they're not. They just won that one opening night game.
And that's what's going to happen. People are so quick to have their, I saw one game. I know how the entire season's going to go.
Yeah, it's super duper. Speaking of hot take, Are you sad that Chris Broussard is leaving ESPN for Fox Sports 1?
No.
There's been a lot of moving around with Fox. I don't know where the ratings are going with that, with Skip Bayless going to Fox with Shannon Sharp, but it feels like they're trying to swing for the fences there.
Fox is, we need ratings, so we're going to get names. ESPN is, well, we're hemorrhaging money. We need to cut anybody.
Yeah.
And as you see, there's any asshole with an opinion could be on, you know, Skip Bayless doesn't. He was just talking for the sake of talking. Same thing with Stephen A. Smith. Their opinions are just, you know.
I will say this. First Take's not the same without Skip. It's not.
No, but that was, you know, the PTI wasn't the same when Max Kellerman first left way back when.
That's Sports Nation, you mean, or?
No.
Oh, Around the Horn.
Around the Horn.
Yeah, with Tony Reale, who I think is still there. I haven't watched Around the Horn in like a solid 2 years. But not because I don't want to, just because time doesn't permit. But yeah, it's going to be an interesting NBA season. There's a lot. I did notice that we're going to see some changes with the TNT and the ESPN lineups. I don't know. I don't have them all written down, but there's been a lot of movement around with the staffs that some people are going to find interesting. The new ESPN bug was really shitty. I don't know if you saw it, but they have a new NBA scoring bug that I think looks kind of silly. A little over.
No, I've been woefully behind.
Do you ever obsess with that when you watch it? The graphics, like the TNT and ESPN scoring graphic.
I don't obsess about it. I'm just hyper aware of them because that is my job to be.
Exactly. That's why I mentioned
hyper
that.
Hyper aware of. I don't complain like, oh, they're so stupid. It's just like, oh, that's interesting. Oh, they're doing that. Oh, this is what they're doing.
Yeah,
oh,
they like to streamline it. Then they kind of go simple with the abbreviations and, you know, and then with the final. Didn't you notice that with the conference finals and the finals, they went with a whole nother font? You know, where it was, it was gold and it was centered, I believe, you know, which was different compared to like all the other ones I guess to make it feel special. I don't know. But all right. I think we're done here, huh?
That was a very good season preview.
But no, we're going to be looking forward to the regular season. This has been a really fun show. I'm glad that for the people that were listening, that everybody was able to tune in to all six parts. You can look at them all on the Place to Be Nation podcast feed. Any questions, you can always go to @AndrewReach, @AndrewReache, on my Twitter handle if anybody has any questions. You know, I don't know if you can send them to Adam Murray. If you did,
my Twitter is @AndrewReach. You can reach him there.
But on behalf of Andrew Reach, this is Andrew Reach. take care, guys. Enjoy the NBA season.